يغيب عنه ناطق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. رب هب لي حكما والحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين. علامہ بصیری رحمہ اللہ says, دامت لدینا ففاقت کل معجزہ من النبیین اذ جاءت ولم تدمی. The Quran Sharif, he describes the Quran Sharif. And in this description, he says that with regards to all the other miracles, this, the Quran Sharif remains with us forever. Therefore, it's superior to every other miracle. Of the Anbiya alayhi musallam, when they performed the miracle, it was restricted to that particular time. And that you call a mu'jiza. And you've seen the miracle of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just go to your wardrobe now, go to your bookshelf now, and there you keep it high on top, on the top shelf. You bring down that Quran Sharif, that's a miracle. Today you are listening to the Huffaz. Yesterday, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we made khatam. And you just wonder that the Hafiz, he recites one person, family member, recites the whole Quran Sharif. And from memory, not looking inside, go and ask anybody to read at that pace, any other book, at that pace and with such volume. Word for word, letter by letter, kasra by kasra, fatha by fatha, dhamma by dhamma. 6,236 words. Recite at that pace and with that volume and every word exact. You can't make one mistake. I think that even those, if you have to say, bring one word student, you know, they're having all these massive stars now, the common thing that is taking place in the world, massive stars. How much of Quran could you not read at that particular time? You know, I'll share this with you as a reflection. When we were growing up, we also had this university mentality that we must go somewhere for iftar and get invited or go to some restaurant or go to all these places. That time we didn't know any better. But our mother, our mothers, our sisters, they used to warn us and tell us, it's Ramadan, you want to go and eat at this place here. It's Ramadan, you want to go and do this here. But you know, youth, when you are young, it's like you are blind from what is common sense. You are blind from what is Sharia. You are blind. You just want to do what everyone is doing. So they used to warn us. My mother used to tell me, what you want to go and do here? What you want to go there for? And today you're sitting back and say how much of wisdom there was in that instruction. Mass iftars. You have to go here. You have to go into different places. Different universities, UCT, and what's the need for all of this? Competing with one another, not to get Jannah for dunya. And don't say iftar, just put the word iftar there. All the intermingling that is taking place and all the rest, but put that all aside. We are focusing on the Quran Sharif here. The miracle of the Quran Sharif, this is the month, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan, the month in which the Quran Sharif was revealed in. And yet we want to go in, pass time, see how we can kill time, here, there, the other. You've got this miracle of the Quran Sharif. Let's see how we can utilize our time and say no. You know what? You want to go for your iftar, here, there, the other? Lakum deenukum waliya deen. For you is your deen, for me is my deen. You want to speak about how much you are feeding. You want to speak about how much... This is not the time for this. Go and feed. Go and give dates. And don't publicize it. Why must everything be publicized? You know how much we're doing. You know how much we're doing. Secretly, with ikhlas, go and give and feed. Go and drop off food by the orphanage. Go and drop off food by those who are hungry. Go do all of this. Those who are fasting, give them something. For that, you can even give half a date. But the focus is gone. Our hearts are not. Allah protect us. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةٍ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Allah teaches us all these du'as from the Quran Sharif. Learn it, recite it. Ya Allah, don't cause these hearts to stray after you have guided it, Ya Allah. Keep it with iman. So every bounty or every, let's say, miracle, every miracle, it remained with that particular time. After that, it didn't continue. Musa alayhi salam, staff, where is it? Where is all the different miracles? It lasted, and yes, that's called a mu'jiza. But the miracle, the Quran Sharif preserved word for word, this continues. And if you see, if you just go to another miracle of the Quran Sharif, Allama Abu Sayri Rahimullah says that it's not connected with any period of time. لَمْ تَقْتَرِنْ بِزَمَانِيُ وَهِيَ تُخْبِرُنَا. It is not connected with any period of time, but it informs us current affairs. We spoke about this previously. عَنِ الْمَعَادِ وَعَنْ عَادِ وَعَنْ إِرَمِ. About the year after, as well as of Ad and Iram. It mentions to us all of this year. It continues, and when you see the Quran Sharif, just fast forward, we're going to go to this particular stanza. وَلَا تُسَامُ عَلَى الْإِكْثَارِ بِالسَّامِ. Nor would you be satiated by its constant repetition. You recite and you recite and you recite, and you just gain much more enjoyment. This is the beauty. The Quran Sharif, its wonders, as we said to you, hadith of Tirmidhi, لا تنقضي عجائبه. Its wonders never ends. Today we want to discuss a particular aspect, and that is the preservation of the Quran Sharif. Often we make this mistake. We say, When we start speaking about the collection of the Quran Sharif, we start from Sayyiduna Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's khilafah, which is a mistake. The question was posed as such, and they will pose these questions to get you onto a certain pathway, whereas you see, certain questions, it overpowers you, so you fail to give the correct response. But had you just thought about it particularly at that time, how many times it occurs? Sometimes you make a decision, then afterwards something else comes to mind, and then you said, hey, if I knew this, I would do this. I would prefer to have done that this way. So the question, when someone poses a question to you, always think, reflect before you give the answer. Sometimes there's no time. Sometimes on the spot they catch you off guard. But still, have this mindset that I'm going to reflect, I'm going to come back to you. And when you see also in the Quran Sharif, someone came to a particular person and they said, you know what, can you please tell me how much of dough does it take to make bread? But you say everything is mentioned in the Quran Sharif. So we want an answer from the Quran Sharif. We want an answer from the Quran Sharif. So his methodology was such that he wouldn't just instantly give an answer. And this is the correct way. If you're not sure 100%, you are not bound to give the answer immediately. So he said, okay, come back tomorrow. Now, remember the question. How much of dough does it make to make a loaf of bread or to make a slice of bread or whatever it was? So he said, no, I'll give you the answer tomorrow. That's my practice. So when you come back tomorrow, I will have the answer for you. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he went, he was reading, and he's seeing, where can I find the answer? Where am I going to find this answer now? But look, miracle of the Quran Sharif, that's our focus. So he comes to the verse, Surah An-Nahl, verse number 43. And he reads, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people who know, if you are unaware, if you do not know, then ask those أَهْلُ الذِّكْرِ. If you do not know, ask those who know. Although here, this year is referring to a particular instance, but it's teaching a principle. When you don't know something, ask those who know. So he went and he went to a baker. Like, you know, here in Lanesia, we have all these different bakers. So Hashim is a baker. So you go there to the baker and you ask how much of flour or how much of dough. He asked the relevant questions. He got the answers. And then he came back and he gave the next day when the question was posed again. He said, today I'm going to give you an answer. I said, I stuck to my word. So he gave the answer. Now, how much of dough does it make? How much of dough does it take to make a loaf of bread? You can go do the research. And then you must see if it's sourdough or what, whichever. But for example, whichever answer he gave accordingly, according to that baker, everything, this person said, but I don't see that in the Quran. Show me, where's the reference for what you are saying? You gave an answer accordingly, so show me in the Quran Sharif where does it say about this? So he said, okay, Quran Sharif, Surah An-Nahl, verse number 43, Allah instructs, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people who know, if you do not know. So that's exactly what I did. I went to the baker and I asked him, he gave me the answer, and I gave you the answer. It's not compulsory upon every alim. Now he must know the knowledge of every small nitty gritty thing of how much of dough needs to go into bread and how much, where can that be now? Yes, that's general knowledge. If he knows it, that's, we'll say, okay, bonus. But it's not compulsory. This is not why he studied. So when the answer was given, the person was really taken aback. Anyway, the Quran Sharif we were speaking about, and how all, when the, nobody, basically we see, you see Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Sahib Hafidhahullah, when he's conducting his, when we're doing the Q&A, he sits only with the Quran Sharif in front. Now if you, and if I have to sit, you have to ask me a question, I'll need like few kitabs in front of me, and I'll just have to grab on something, holding on for dear life to give that. He just opens the Quran Sharif, this verse here, this here, that there. And you just wonder, like, how, mashallah, well doesn't. In fact, he actually took on, he studied a course on English so that he can find the words befitting the translation, so that the word can be as close to the Arabic as possible. It can never be, can never match. That's a given. But in the English language, to be as proficient and to give the exact or as close, you can't get exact. Let's minus that from that sentence. You can't get that. But at least to get the closest as possible. And not to give the wrong understanding. If you take fornication and adultery, it's not both the same. Fornication and adultery. So we often mix up the two, or we think it's one and the same. But adultery refers to sexual intercourse between a married person and a person who is not their spouse. So it changes the punishment there. You cannot use fornication and adultery as two, as synonyms. You can't use it like that. Adultery refers to sexual intercourse between a married person and someone who is not their spouse. That's what it means. Fornication, this is when they are not married. That is fornication. There is zina. But the difference is a big difference in terms of punishment. So this is vital, this is important. Fornication is when two people who are not married, they then do these shameless acts. In fact, just on this year, I was listening to a particular documentary now over this weekend, and they are now shocked. They don't know what to do, how to solve situations. So they now have come up with the idea, because let's give you what's the problem first. The issue is, they said, 10 to 14 years, this has been now for how many years it's been going on? 10 to 14 years of age in the past year or so, so many hundreds of girls have given birth. I would say it can go in the thousands, hundreds of thousands. So according to that particular study, was it on a monthly basis or this? Now they're looking for a solution. How do we find the solution? So they said, okay, the solution is contraceptives. Contraceptives. We're not speaking of Muslims here. Non-Muslims trying to solve situations. Contraceptives. We're speaking of the aptness of the Quran Sharif. So what they say? No, we're going to, 10 years of age, they say these contraceptives, and they were interviewing a few, it causes headaches, it has side effects, this, that, the other. But no, these children must have contraceptives, whether with the permission of your parent or not. They say they are concerned of the health of this particular child. What lies? What utter lies. They say Department of Education, all of them are coming together, and now your child will have to have a contraceptive inserted in whichever way they deem necessary or most befitting. Your child will have to have a contraceptive. Now, how do you reconcile? You're saying you're worried about my child's health, right? And then you, on your own, have decided that this child and no child, 11 years of age, you go to the hospital, and if that 11-year-old wants a contraceptive, nobody can deny, and that particular child does not need a permission letter or anything, consent from the parent to say that this particular thing needs to be done. That doesn't have to happen anymore. Now, what have you done? Let's unpack the whole thing now. You've went away, you've driven fast past the actual problem. And what you've done is, you've now made another problem part of this problem. So look at the short-sightedness of the kuffar. And look at the vision of the Quran Sharif. That's our message for today. Quran Sharif is saying, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not go close to zina. Here they are saying, no contraceptives. But the actual problem, you haven't dealt with it. The problem is sex in schools. The problem is fornication in schools. And we say fornication, why? Because those are not married. Those are children doing it. The question then comes in, who is doing it with that particular female 10-year-old, 11-year-old? Is it the teacher or is one of the students that we haven't yet spoken about as yet? But can you see the short-sightedness? That's where we're pointing out to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide us. Guide the world and make the Quran Sharif the constitution again. This is what we need. So what happens is, 10 years, 11 years, your child has got that. Now they think in their minds, I won't get caught. You saw the old Balabal, we spoke much about that. So I won't get caught. You know, for abortion, all of that, you don't need your parents' consent. For contraceptives, you don't need your parents' consent. But the actual problem, that is not being dealt with, and that is fornication. This taking place amongst minors in schools. 10 years, 11 years, pregnant. Where? And then they want to have all of a sudden a big mouth when it comes to our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Next month is Shawwal. You know, you fast the 6th, and there on the 10th of Shawwal, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam had married Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha was more or less about 17, 18 when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had left this temporary world. So if it was 10 years after, that means she's only going to be 13. That's permissible. Go and see in the olden days, this was common. And women, girls, females of that time, they knew how to run a house. Today you ask a woman who's gone 27 years, 28 years, campus, university, and I will even say add in this year, religious, Islamic studies, all of that. Come in the kitchen, can't last long because they're not used to it. They are not used to it. They're not comfortable with the utensils. So that's what I'm saying. We need to go back to this. And with regards to the fornication, the issue is this. You'll get Professor Salim Karim and the rest saying how they want to help and assist with AIDS. How many years that is, but still hasn't solved the issue. Because you haven't ruled according to the Quran Sharif. Do not go close to zina. You can't solve the problem while you're stuck in the problem. You have to come out of the problem. You have to not go close to the problem. That is what Quran Sharif, that's the vision of the Quran Sharif. Now you understood the vision of the believer, as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in narration of Tirmidhi, اتقوا فراسة المؤمن فإنه ينظر بنور الله. Beware of the vision of the believer because he sees with the nur of Allah. The nur of Allah, the Quran Sharif, the Ahadith Mubarakah, Wahi. This is what drives him, this is what keeps him going. And as explained by the Fuqaha, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'ah, the jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. So this all needs to settle in. This all needs to be part and parcel. Then we can move forward.